This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
For the sisters, if you want to come in, you can come in. Ahlan Salman, how are you doing? Good to see you. Salaam wa barakatuh. Waalaikum Allah. Just read it. I mean the Arabic if you can, and otherwise the English. Hold on. Which one? Yeah, Hadith Asma, then Riwayat Abi Hurairah. The microphone is. After he finished, just disconnect. Read the two hadith.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu wa salam, ala rasulillah wa ba'd. Qala muallifu, al-hafidhu ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahmat ta'ala, fi kitabihi, bulugh al-maram, fi kitabu al-tahara, wa an asma'a binti Abi Bakr radiyallahu anhu ta'ala anhuma, anna al-Nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qala, في دم الحيض يصيب الثوب تحته ثم تقرصه بالماء ثم تنضحه ثم تصلي فيه متفق عليه. Narrated Asma bint Abi Bakr radiallahu anhuma, the Prophet ﷺ said regarding menstruation blood that smears a garment, she should scrape it, rub it with water, then wash it, and then she may pray in it. Hadith is agreed upon. وعن أبي هريرة
أبي هريرة
وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قالت خولة يا رسول الله ف فإن لم يذهب الدم قال يكفيك الماء ولا يضرك أثره. أخرجه الترمذي وسنده ضعيف. Narrated Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه, خولة رضي الله عنها said, O Messenger of Allah, suppose the trace of the blood does not go. He said, washing it with water will suffice you and its trace won't harm you. Reported by Tirmidhi and its sanad is weak.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man walahu ba'd. Hadith Asma, we talked about it last week, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said regarding menstruation blood that smears a garment, she should scrub it, rub it with water, then wash it, and then she may pray in it. And we said that this hadith, al-ulama rahimahumullah ta'ala, consider it the evidence that they have that the blood is najis. The blood is najis. Ala anna dama najis. And al-ulama rahimahumullah ta'ala agreed upon that a dam, especially that it comes, the dam of menstruation, nifas, the dam of after delivery, the post needle bleeding, there is a consensus among the ulama that this is najis. And we said there is something called najasa mughallada, basically an extreme najasa or major najasa. And we said what shows us that this is a major najasa, that in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked her to repeat the washing several ways. One, scrub it, then she will rub it with water, then she will pour water, three levels. And if it's just a regular najasa, would it be enough? One of them, just wash it with pour water over it, will be enough. لكن تكرار الأمر بغسله بصور مختلفة يدل على غلظ هذه النجاسة. As for الدم, the blood, in general, other than this type of blood, we said last week أن جماعة من العلماء, group scholars, stated that there is a consensus that the blood of a human being, generally speaking, is najis. Like al-Imam Ahmad rahimahullah and al-Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah. Al-Imam Ahmad said that he doesn't know any debate over this issue, that he's not aware of different of opinions among the fuqaha, among the sahaba, the tabi'een, that al-dam is najis. And as well Ibn Abdul Barr in al-Tamheed, as well Ibn Hazm al-Zahiri rahimahullah, and al-Qurtubi, in his book Tafsir, وَبِن رُشْد فِي بِدَايَةِ الْمُجْتَهِدِ, and Ibn Hajar himself in Fath al-Bari said that there is an issue of agreement between the scholars. And in the form of Dahib that they consider the blood najis. But the Hanabila rahimahumullah have a very good distinguish between the small amount of blood and the large quantity and the blood that pour out of the body. They said we must differentiate between the two. So if there is a little bit of blood coming out of the body, it will not, like a small cut, that blood will not be considered najis. But if it is something like you cut a vein and basically burst out the blood, that's najis. Cutting a hand or a surgery and the blood pour out in a on the surgeon's clothes, that will be considered najis. But a very small, tiny amount of blood that maybe touch your clothes, like let's say you are a dentist and you're working, and sometimes a little bit of blood goes to the shirt or the doctor or the patient, do you consider that's not a najasa? That is forgiving because it's a very small amount. Or they don't treat it the same way when it is pursed out or comes out in a large quantity. That's where we stop. So I would like to give you an overall look when it comes to the ruling of the blood. And I said that their main evidence that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said awdam masfuha, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows that it is rijs. قُلْ لَا أَجِدُ فِي مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيَّ مُحَرَّمًا عَلَى طَاعِمٍ يَطْعَمُهُ إِلَّا أَنْ يَكُونَ مَيْتَةً أَوْ دَمًا مَسْفُوحًا أَوْ لَحْمَ خِنْزِيرٍ فَإِنَّهُ رِجْسٌ أَوْ فِسْقًا أُهِلَّ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ بِهِ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala call it rijs, and the ulama said here referring to the blood as something najis, like the pig, which is mentioned right after it. And before it, Allah mentioned the dead animal. And we knew that the dead animal is najis. The dead, which is not slaughtered, this is a najis. That's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, أَيُّمَا إِهَابْ قَدْ دُبِغْ فَقَدْ طَهُرْ, that the dead animal's skin, if it is tanning, if you tan it, and you process it, that chemical process for the skin, it became tahir. So that means it wasn't tahir before. So that process will make it tahir. So before that process, it means it was najis, because it's dead. And al-ulama rahimahumullah said, "Ad-dam yanqasim ila qismayn." All kind of blood can be classified to two categories. Can anybody guess what are they? Flowing or not flowing? No. When it comes to the relationship of where this blood or what this blood belonged to, a human being and animals, Allah ta'ala, human beings and animals. And for the human being's blood, we can classify it to two categories. Number one, the blood of menstruating or postnatal bleeding, or the bleeding of the woman, hayd or istihada, or any blood that comes from the private part, the anal or the genital. Okay? So any this all one category. This category, no matter how the amount is, it is absolutely by the ijma' ulama considered what? Najis, impure. There is one exception, انتبه, في بس ملاح. Some people might have a hemorrhoid, okay? Or because of the dry weather and with cleaning their anus, it might have bleeding in it. That's right? So the person clean, but he might later on find in his underwear a trace of blood or something of that nature. That's forgiven. Why? Because this is a sickness. It's like someone has a problem with releasing gas without controlling. That person who said, make wudu, and after that, if the gas comes out of you without controlling, it's forgiven. Or some people, their urine comes as drops. So this is the same thing. Somebody has hemorrhoid, or, you know, from the dry skin, he might have a little bit trace of blood that basically comes in his underwear or her underwear. That's forgiven. As for other than that, it's the blood that comes from the body. And we'll come to this in a little bit. For the animals, the blood of any animal that we are allowed to eat. Any animal that we are allowed to eat. The blood of the animal that we are not allowed to eat. جميل. ما يؤكل لحمه وما لا يؤكل لحمه. Give me example of something that we are allowed to eat. Goat. Very good. Very Indian example. Very good. Sheep. Very Arab example. Okay. Very good. Give me Muhammad. Give Ahmed. Sorry. Ahmed. Give me example of something we're not allowed to eat. Huh? Pig. Very good. So pigs we're not allowed to eat. So what's the blood, or for example, something, alligator, we're not allowed to eat. Okay, snake, we're not allowed to eat. So what's the ruling in the blood of these kind of animals? Lion, tiger. I saw a documentary that day in Taiwan. They basically sell the tiger's blood, the Bengal tiger blood, and they sell the blood, and they said it's very expensive in Hong Kong and some part of the world. It make you like a tiger, which is nonsense. But this kind of stuff, what's the ruling in regard to these, like the blood of animals like that? Or even if it is a sheep, but dead animal. Sheep, you're allowed to eat. But a car hit the sheep, or a deer hit the sheep. You hit the deer with your car. And basically, or a bird. And that blood came to your clothes, let's say. How about this? What's the ruling of that blood? So keep your imagination big. The third category of kunti animals, al-ulama rahimahullah said, the blood, ma'la damun lahu sa'. The blood of insects, which it does not have blood in it. Bugs, mosquitoes, you know, fly. Anything, when you basically hit it, green comes out. Okay? Not necessarily blood. So what's the ruling in regard to this stuff? As for the human being, we said about the first category that bil-ijma najis. And the second part of the human being's blood, which is other than the menstruating, other than nifas, other than the, comes from the private part. Al-ulama rahimahumullah, the early scholars agreed upon that if it is in a large quantity, or the blood in general is najis. Al-Hanabila, they said if it is masfuh, if it is basically cut and pour out, purse out, that they said it is najis. But Al-Hanabila said if it's a small amount, it is not najis. Yes. No, and najasa doesn't break the wudu. Yeah, it doesn't break your wudu. The only thing comes out of you, break your wudu, none. That's right. But any najasa does not break the wudu. If you have a wudu and I bring now a pig feces and blood and skin, and you know the worst najasa can think, I pour it over you, okay, and you just clean yourself, you still have wudu. So najasa does not break your wudu. Tayyib. They, yes. He said if the blood comes out of the private part area, would that break your wudu or not? That's an issue of debate. The majority said yes, it would. Coming. We'll talk about it. Just give me a second. Let's take one at a time. Now we're going to talk about the second category of the human blood. We said that the ulama, the vast majority said, or the mutaqaddimeen in the early scholars, there is even no difference of opinion known to us. But later on, some fuqaha said no. The blood of the human being will never be najis. No matter how it is. It's not najis. And among those, Shawkani from Yemen, and modern scholars like Sheikh Al-Albani, rahimahullah, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, and others. What's their proof? They said, number one, قالوا الأصل الطهارة حتى يقوم دليل عن نجاسة. They said the default rules that everything Allah created and made is pure. Until what? You bring proof that it's najis. And you guys didn't bring any proof that is najis. The proof in the Quran that you mentioned about illa yakuna maytatan aw daman masfuhan, talking about the thing that you're not allowed to consume, has nothing to do with being what? Najis. And rijs, it doesn't mean najis. The Quran, we said rijs, it means it's disgusting. Okay? And he said, the only najis, the administration. Because the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ordered us to clean it. Other than that, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam never told the companions that they have to treat any blood like najasa. And how many times the Sahaba got injured, bleed, nose bleeding, many times. Hijama, people do the hijama, you know, the cupping. There is blood involved. Like, why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam never ever said to the person who do the cupping, be careful. By the way, the blood is najis. He never said anything like that, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Even though there is need to explain the ruling. They said also, saying that blood is najis, that's not correct. They said in the Sunnah there is evidence shows you that in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the companion did not treat the blood as something impure or najis. For instance, Al-Imam Ahmad rahimahullah reported to Abu Dawud and Jabir radiallahu anhu, he said, we went with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in a battle that's called Ghazwat Dhat al-Riqa'. So a man killed أصاب رجل امرأة رجل من المشركين. By mistake, one of the Sahaba killed one of the women of the enemy. Her husband said, Wallahi, I will take revenge for my wife. So he started following the Muslim's army until the Muslim army camp in the night. And this guy who's seeking revenge brought with him squad. He said, He made an oath that I will not go back to my home until I will spill the blood of one of Muhammad's companions. So he saw them camping. He watching from a distance. So al-Muhajirin al-Ansar said, this entrance for the valley need to be guarded because this is the back. Somebody can sneak from this part and attack the Muslim from the back. So one of the Ansar and one of the Muhajirin said, we'll take care of it the whole night. So what they do, they share the night. Someone sleep in the beginning, half the night, and the other person basically guard. Then they switch. So Al-Ansari was praying and the Muhajiri was sleeping. The man came, who's sneaking and what he wants, he's the one who's seeking revenge. He saw this Ansari praying. He put his arrow and he shot the Ansari. One arrow. Then the Ansari took it out. He put another arrow. He shot the Ansari. He took it out. He put the third one and he shot the Ansari. He took it out. Then he made ruku' quickly, make sujood, and finish his praying quickly. Then he start kind of crawling to the Muhajiri, wake him up. He said, there is somebody here shooting at us. Then he told him, look at you. You're bleeding so bad. What happened? He said, he shot me. قَالَ وَمَا حَمَلَكَ. Why didn't you wake me up early? You've been praying. Why did you wake up from the first arrow? He said to him, "Kuntu aqra surah, fakarihtu an aqta'aha." Allahu Akbar. I was reading a surah, and I don't want to cut off the surah. I want to finish the surah. If I'm not mistaken, one of the ruayat, this was Surah Al-Kahf. That he didn't want to finish. He wanted to finish the whole surah. But I was worried, by the end, I would lose so much blood, and I will basically fall unconscious. And because of that, the mushrikeen will come from an area or a spot that the Prophet ﷺ asked me to guard. And I don't want the Muslim to be attacked from my side. Wallahi, this is something to be written with gold. I don't want the Muslim to be attacked from my side. قال لا أريد أن يؤتى المسلمين من قبلي. So many times, the sunnah, the deen, the community can be attacked from our side, from our behavior, because of our behavior. Anyway, my question, so the Ansari woke up and basically everybody woke up, but the guy who shot him ran away. My question, how this hadith prove that the blood is not najis? Yes. The blood was coming out of his clothes. If the blood is najis, he's not allowed to continue the prayer. Not because it breaks his wudu, because he has to remove the najasa. Also, they said that this incident, we are sure that it was reported to the Prophet ﷺ. And in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam didn't make any comment that his salah was wrong or anything like that. And even if the Prophet ﷺ wasn't told about it, Allah was aware of it. And if there is ruling need to be clarified, Allah would have said it at that time. Also, they said that many times we find the Sahaba prayed while they are in the battlefield, or after the battlefields, or during the battlefields in the Salat al-Khawf, while they are injured and bleeding. And Umar radiallahu anhu ardah prayed, وَكَانَ جُرْحُهُ يَثْعُبُ دَمًا, pouring his cut, because he cut his gut. So he was, the blood was pouring out of him. And this is a lot of blood, and didn't make them najis. طيب. This evidence that used by these individual scholars, not very strong argument in my opinion. Why? It is very clear. Not good argument. Why? Because, first of all, we said that the small amount of blood, like the nose bleeding or small cuts here and there, that is not considered najis. That's why there is no ruling related to it. As for the amount, the masfuh, the good amount of blood, the pouring the purse out, no, Al-Quran talked about it. And in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told that woman in regard to hay. So as a concept, that's clear, actually. That's why we never heard anyone of the companion or the successor or the follower of the successor or the four imam or their students or their teachers ever said that a dam is not najis. That's a well-established ruling. Ever. Actually, this stated the opposite, the early scholars. That's why Imam Ahmad rahimahullah said, I never heard anyone said that it's not najis. And when Imam Ahmad said, I never heard, he's not referring to people in his only time, but before him, the tabi'in and so forth. Number two, this incident where people are injured in the war, you cannot use it as evidence. Why? Number one, because these are hawadith a'yan, yani this incident of the man, it's an incident. You cannot generalize rules from an incident that specific rule. His ijtihad, his best judgment was to continue. Number two, all these bleedings that took place during war, هذا لا يوجد سبيل لمنع الدم. There is no way to stop the bleeding. So it takes the same ruling of what? Of istihada, the woman who bleed after the hayd, or someone has urine, basically, that comes after he finished. It's a sickness. We never said to that person, by the way, urine is tahir, for the one who has a disease that he cannot control his urine. We still consider, but this is forgiven for him because he has no control over it. The same thing, somebody basically cut him open, cut his gut open. What are you going to do in that time? No stitches, nothing. No matter what you try to hold it, it will bleed. So we say, don't pray? No one will say that. So that qiyas is not, this evidence is not very clear evidence. As for, there is narrations that Ibn Umar had his nose bleed or things of that nature, and we don't have proof that they consider it as najis or not. We said also these are very small amount of blood and should be forgiven. So let's say someone has here sometimes because of cold, you have a skin, dry skin, you cut it, a little bit of, you know, a dot of blood, you can pray with it. You know, if you want to clean it, it will be good. But if you forgot about it, you didn't see it, inshallah, it's forgiven. Speaking of this, I don't know about you guys, but when I grow up, when I was a kid, I remember the kids in my age. I didn't do that, but I remember the kids used to do, some relatives. They will suck the blood. Do you guys know that? You know, cut or like the skin, they suck the blood. Did you used to do that? I'm done. Good. Ahmed, that's why. Okay. So that's absolutely not allowed. That's haram because this is like not only the najasa, but the blood is haram. And blood has a lot of bacteria. That's even not very healthy thing to do at all. Doctor, you want to say something? Okay, what if I put saliva to stop the bleeding? That's fine, but I'm talking about the use actually to suck the blood. Yeah, that's fine. طيب. As for the animals, first group the animal that you're allowed to eat their meat. Al-ulama rahimahullah treated it like the human being. So you have the imma al-arba'a, the four madahib, and the early scholars treated the same thing. They don't differentiate. But those who made exception for the human blood, they made exception also for this type of animals that you're allowed to eat. And they said, those who made exceptions, they said, we have evidence to show that the blood of the animals that we eat, are not najis. Number one, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as Ibn Mas'ud reported, was praying once in front of Al-Kaaba. And the kuffar atau bisan al-jazur. They brought the blood and the intestine of the camel and they threw it on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's back while he's praying in Mecca, laughing. And his daughter Fatima came and she cleaned the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's back. So he said, in Nabi Sallam, continue his salah, didn't break it because of najasa. Number two, they said, and this hadith in Bukhari Muslim, Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he slaughtered Nahara Jazura. He basically slaughtered a camel, and the blood and the filth of it touched his clothes and his body, and the salah was called, and he joined the salah, and he never made wudu. And this is Musanaf Abdul Razzaq and others, and it's authentic. So that shows that the Sahaba don't consider it najis. What do you guys think of the first proof, the incident of Mecca? Is that a strong argument? Yes. One incident, you cannot generalize rule. Very good. حوادث كذا يقول الفقهاء حوادث الأعيان لا تعمم منها الأحكام. Very good. What else? Huh? Very excellent point. That's very early stage in Islam. Even the rules of Salah is not established yet. That's before all these rules came down. So you cannot use this, which has happened in the very early stage, to establish a ruling that it is not established until Medina time comes. طيب. What else? I have a question. The blood of that camel,
And the meat of that camel, is it something allowed to eat? Not the blood, the meat. Ya salam. Because that the slaughter of Abu Jahl, and the slaughter of Abu Jahl never make that meat halal. So it is take the same ruling as dead animal, maita. And he now, if you find a Buddhist, cut or kill the chicken, can you eat it? Even if he does it Islamically. Can you eat it? No. It's considered najis. You cannot touch it. Only if a Muslim or Christian or Jews. But other than that, you're not allowed to touch it. So here you see, we say that this evidence that they use doesn't really work because حَتَّ هُوَ لَا يُكَلْ لَحْمُ because it's mayta. As for Ibn Mas'ud's narration, we say, the best we can say, that's Ibn Mas'ud's opinion. And number two, we say that maybe Ibn Mas'ud didn't notice the blood. Okay? رضي الله عنه وأرضى. Or Ibn Mas'ud couldn't find anything to clean his thobe with. He did his best, but still stained. Whoever saw Ibn Mas'ud praying with it, he doesn't know what Ibn Mas'ud did in the process. Maybe he tried his best, and that's what stain left. He couldn't find anything to clean his clothes with. See, why incident we don't generalize rules from it? Because incident, there is consequences. There is circumstances we're not aware of it. That's why we cannot generalize rules from them. طيب. That's why as-sahih, that any blood comes from the animal that you're allowed to eat, pour out, purse out, this blood is najis. You cut the neck and the blood comes pursed out from the animal, that's blood is najis. You're not allowed to pray while you have it in your clothes, according to the vast majority of the scholars, rahimahumullah ta'ala. But the blood that it does not burst out, the blood that remains inside the animal, al-ulama rahimahullah said, it is not najis. What that means? Because Aisha radiallahu anha reported that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the companion, sometimes they will eat the meat and they will see a trace of blood inside the meat or inside the bird. You know, sometimes when you eat the chicken and you break between the bones, you can see trace of blood sometimes. They will eat it. Sometimes you eat your steak rare and still have what? Blood. Where are our brothers, Lebanese brothers? They eat sushi beef. Their beef is sushi. That's right, Muhammad? They do that, that's right. Sheikh Ibrahim, that's right. Kibbe nayye. Yeah, kibbe. Basically, it's a ground beef and it is sushi style. They don't cook it. So if you squeeze it, actually you'll find blood in it. So all this, since it is part of it inside it, it's not pursed out. That's what's najis. But inside it, al-ulama rahimahullah, there is an agreement between them that it is not considered najis. But the person, if you want to get rid of it, okay, it's better. So it will, for any purification, but it's not haram. Like sometimes you cook the chicken, and the water, you will see with the boiling, maybe a little bit of trace of blood. You don't say, khalas, the whole thing became najis, let me toss it out. No. As for the animal that you're not allowed to eat, al-ulama rahimahullah agree that blood is najis. They only made exception for one animal. Can you have a guess? An animal you're not allowed to eat, but they said it's this animal, its blood is not najis. Fox, why? Cat, Allah Ta'ala. Cat. Why? They said because the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, إِنَّهَا لَيْسَتْ بِنَجِسْ إِنَّهَا مِنَ الطَّوَافِينَ عَلَيْكُمْ وَالطَّوَافَاتِ. It's not najis, it is that thing that always comes around you. طيب. Some ulama rahimahullah said, and because it's always around, that's why there is exception to the rules. But I don't agree with that exception. Why? Because the exception was made for the mouth of the cat. Because the mouth of the cat, yes, it touched najasa in the floor, touched najasa, lick itself, blah, blah, blah. Then it will come to your food, come to your water, touch your couch, touch your body. Okay? This is very hard to what? To every time it touch something, to clean after it. But the blood of the cat, how often this is? Almost nothing. I had cat for years, never had an incident where I had to, you know, to deal with it, with its blood. So that's why this hadith in Nabi Sallam, when he made the exception, laysa binajis, is not referring to everything in the cat. Otherwise, we're going to say the urine and the feces of the cat is also tahir. And no one say that. That's right? So that exception that made is not a very good, actually, in my opinion, fiqh. So what about insects that has no blood? Like you don't slaughter them, the blood don't burst out. Like mosquitoes, you suck somebody's blood. Bugs, fly, you know, all these like different type of insects. Al-ulama rahimahullah ta'ala said, it is tahir, it's not najis. So it is tahir, pure. No, it's not impure. And he said the proof that in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said in regard to the fly, if it comes in your drink, dip it, and basically you throw it out. One wing has the disease and the other one has the cure. طيب. What about the blood of a dead animal? Okay? Any animal that died without being slaughtered properly, it is najis. That blood is najis. That blood is najis. And there is ijma' among the Muslims on that. طيب. The next hadith, hadith Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that Khawla, she said, Ya Rasulullah, suppose the trace of the blood doesn't go. He said, wash it with water, will suffice you, and its trace won't harm you, reported by At-Tirmidhi. He said this hadith is, reported by At-Tirmidhi, and Sanad, the chain of narrators, is weak. بعض العلماء انتقدوا الحافظ ابن حجر رحمه الله في هذا التخريج. Some ulama criticized al-Hafiz ibn Hajar and they said, this hadith actually is not narrated by At-Tirmidhi. Some of the commentary I found criticized him and they said this hadith is not narrated by At-Tirmidhi. They said we looked at At-Tirmidhi, the copy that we have, and we saw At-Tirmidhi said, وفي الباب عن أبي هريرة. In this chapter, this hadith, there is a hadith from Abu Huraira said this and this and that. So they said since At-Tirmidhi never mentioned the isnad, the chain of narrators, we cannot claim that this hadith is reported by At-Tirmidhi. It only became reported by At-Tirmidhi if he narrated the hadith. In a defense to Ibn Hajar, we say At-Tirmidhi's book has many copies. And maybe the copy that we have didn't have the chain of narrator. But other copies, it might have the chain of narrator. So it's not fair to criticize him, because Ibn Hajar, rahimahullah, is a great imam and understands this concept very well. But this hadith reported by Al-Bayhaqi, radiallahu anh, and Aisha also mentioned this statement, but as a statement of Aisha, not as a statement from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam عند Abi Dawood wa Darimi wa ghayrihim. He said, and At-Tirmidhi, basically, reported by At-Tirmidhi, and it is sanad, chain of narrator is weak. Why? Ibn Hajar rahimahullah mentioned it, it's weak because a narrator in the isnad, his name is Abdullah ibn Lahi'a, al-Qadi, al-Misri, al-Kabir. Abdullah ibn Lahi'a, ibn Uqbah al-Hadrami, Abu Abdul Rahman al-Misri. He's a judge. الحافظ بن حجر صرف التقريب صدوق يخطئ. He's a trustworthy, but he makes mistakes. Trustworthy, يعني he will not, he's trustworthy not as in his memory, trustworthy in his religion. يعني he's a trusted person from taqwa and iman and faith and so forth. But he makes a lot of mistakes. And he said, اختلط بعد احتراق كتبه. He used to live in Egypt and his library burned. Okay? And his book burned. After his book burned, he started reading from what? Memory or book that it doesn't belong to him. And in this book, there is so many mistakes. And his memory was not very good after that incident. So they said, when he started doing this, all his narration was what? Weak. So those who narrated hadith from Ibn Lahi'a before his book was burned, their narration are accepted. But if anyone narrated after him, after that, is not accepted. So among those who narrated from Ibn Lahi'a before he lost or before his book was burned, Al-Abadila, Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak, Abdullah ibn Wahb, wa Abdullah ibn al-Muqri. This, even Ibn Hajar said, Abdullah ibn Wahb, when he narrated from Lahi'a, it is good narration. And in this isnad in particular, Abdullah ibn Wahb is the one who narrated from Lahi'a. So I'm surprised that Ibn Hajar, rahimahullah, still consider that as a weak narration. And the ulama debated over this completely. So some ulama قالوا Ibn Lahi'a is weak before the books burn and after it's burned. Became worse. Only accepted as a Hasan hadith or a hadith that can be used as a follow-up, as a narration, but not by itself. للمتابع. And some fuqaha and some ulama al-hadith consider Ibn Lahi'a thiqa. Before and after. They don't even have any concept of that he's weak or not accepted or book burned. They don't, he's a general speaker. He is a trustworthy. And some ulama, they differentiate between the narration before his book burned and after. So they said before it's acceptable, after it's weak, he needs someone to back him up, to accept his narration. And there is so much to be said because some ulama even deny the whole concept of his book burned. Some ulama said this is made up story. And they refused that concept. Ulama kibar fi ahl al-hadith. They rejected that. Shaykhana, yani rahimahullah, hayyan kana aw mayyita, wa ma zala qayd al-hayat. One of my great teachers in ilm al-hadith, his name Ahmed Ma'bad Abdul Karim. He's from Egypt. One of the greatest scholars I ever met in my life in ilm al-hadith. He wrote about Ibn Lahi'a what no one ever did, in my opinion. He wrote about this man and he made a case study of this man, which is, if you are a student of knowledge and interested in this science in particular, it's a must read. In his book, Al-Nafh, in his commentary on the book of Sayyid al-Nas, Al-Nafh al-Shadi, fi sharh sunan al-Tirmidhi, it is over 80 pages, just talking about Ibn Lahi'a's narrations. Is it acceptable or not acceptable? Al-Hadith mentioned that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa said, يَكْفِيكِ بِالْمَاءِ, it's enough for you to use the water. Is that means to limit the cleaning of najasa to the water? He said, it's enough to use the water. Some ulama understood from this text that water is the only mean to what? To remove the najasa. Are you following? But the strong opinion, no. Water is one of, it's the best, but it's not the only way to remove the najas. That's why when you go, karamukum Allah, to the bathroom and you use tissue paper, you remove the najasa with no need for water. Some people say they have to have water. I see in our bathroom, sometimes people have 2 jugs of water. I don't know why. You know, you take 2 inside one toilet, yani one bathroom. I couldn't figure that out yet. Why would you take 2 with you inside? But maybe some people use too much water. Anyway, but you don't need that. This tissue will be enough to clean yourself. Also, it can be a chemical. طيب, why the fuqaha said about, especially the blood and things, that, why the fuqaha said only water? Can anybody tell me? It's a good to be a critical thinker. Why the fuqaha said only water? Ya salam alaik. Because that's the only possible way at that time. Yani give me other way to clean najasa with. It has to be water. Okay. Tayyib. But in our days, there is other possibilities. Can you give me example? Chemical process. You know, like chemical detergents and sprays on the ground. What else? I'll give you one. Huh? Wet wipes. Very good. What else? What do you guys think of? If someone use steam. Yeah, dry cleaning, steam. Would that be enough to remove the najas? Somebody has blood in his coat and you do steam. You need to start? Child, just hold on, just 1 second. It would be enough, it would be good. Steam cleaning, dry cleaning, yes. The point is this. As long as the najasa is removed, we're good. It doesn't matter what is the process is. What is the method for removing the najasa? And that's the position of the Hanafis only. And from the Hanabila, Shaykh al-Islam, Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, and some Hanabilis. But the Maliki, the Shafi'i, they say you must, and most of the Hanabili, you must use water. But actually the Hanafi and Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah and some of the Hanabili said, no, you don't have to. So if there is a blood in the clothes and you put it in the sun and dry out completely, khalas, enough. Tayyib. The point, the actual najasa to be removed, not the stain of it. That's why I said, Ya Rasulullah, what about the stain? He said, it wouldn't harm you. That's why sometimes you wash your underwear, but you still have stain in it. You wash the sheet from blood, but still have a stain in it. You know? So that will not harm you. And this is will mark the end of this chapter. And Imam As-San'ani, rahimahullah, said, if he put the hadith of the urine of the man who urinated the masjid that we talked about before, and the tanning of the skin of the animals in this chapter would be good, because that's how you purify this najasa. Because the whole chapter is about najasa and how you remove it. And he has a good point, rahimahullah. The next one, inshallah, will be al-wudu. And this is will be, inshallah, in the future. Let me just tell you what's going to happen. I'll take your question. Then we have a fire drill. I think it's much better to wait until people come more and more. So in Ramadan, I will be teaching Kitab al-Siyam from Bulugh al-Maram. And we'll be able, inshallah, the plan is to finish the whole entire chapter of As-Siyam during the month of Ramadan. So I need to ask, I'm thinking about teaching it multiple days in the week, not only one day, to be able to finish all the ahadith. So When would you like this to be? Like after Asr, if we say Asr is 5:30 or something like that, so 5:45, is that a good time? Or we say we do it only in the weekend, like Saturday and Sunday, after Asr. I'm not sure if 2 days will be enough or not, but otherwise, I was thinking to make it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, like 4 days a week. But if you guys are not going to be able to attend, I am okay with doing the weekend. No, I review my Quran, Quraysh, and I digest my food. Two things. I do. So, what do you guys think? Or you guys don't want?
We want it, but most of people work.
Work. No, it's not going to work because people have invitation. And he said 7 p.m. invited and people get... But in the weekend, we can do it in the after Asr. The best idea. So inshallah, we'll have it Saturday and Sunday after Salat al-Asr. And we will have about 1.5 hour or 1 hour. And we will make it some short, inshallah. And if you are at work, you can always join us online. And if we found that we need more time, we might take during the week. And you can see it online, inshallah ta'ala. So it's going to be, inshallah. Next week, we're going to start with the book of al-Siyam instead of al-Wudu, because to prepare ourselves. So now the fire drill. Who's in charge of it? Ahmed. Yeah, call the adhan. But I suggest, how long this whole process will take, Ahmed?